If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light of the Holy One, the only one that is, from which we have all emanated as divine radiations. So, you're listening to Commander Lady Athena, and this is the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is, You Are the Light, the Holy One that sees. You are the Light, the Holy One that sees. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow the holy light of the one that is to fill your mind, to fill your eyes, to anoint your entire head within and without. See the light filling your ears. See it coming down into your throat, your heart, your lungs, your chakras, your hands, which are extensions of radiant love, your torso, your abdomen, your hips, your legs, and your feet. And know that those feet are the holy feet. They are the way that God walks upon this earth. Your body is a holy habitation. It is the means through which the limitless light of the all that is can find a placement and an expression in time and space. When you have a little time, and if I were you, I would certainly make time, begin to look within and without and see how much light you can become aware of. Look with slightly unfocused eyes at your own image in a mirror in a darkened room. See if you can hold your hands a few inches apart in a darkened room or a room that's not too brightly lit. And see if you can feel the energy pressure between your two palms as they're held up and face one another. See if you can see the auric field between your hands. Look at your hands and realize they're but light, but they're God's hands. They're the way that God can touch and hold and heal and impart blessings. Think of your whole body as a field of benediction. Your light, your holiness, blesses this world. It blesses all you see. Why? Because God is the one that is seeing through your eyes. You can't see by yourself. When you read a book searching for truth, it is the light of truth within your own mind, projected upon the pages giving rise to recognition that is the divine light within your reading. That spark of cognition, recognition, revelation, intuition comes directly from the light of God within your mind. Contemplate how holy your mind is. God is in your mind as the light of pure divine awareness, of pure cognition of that which is. Contemplate that. God is in my mind. My mind is very holy. So take a deep breath and allow that recognition to come alive inside. Allow it to quicken, activate. Take a deep breath and expand that awareness now beyond the periphery of your head, your body. Look inwardly in your third eye and see a golden effulgent light that's filled with awareness. And that is your field of being. That is eternal. That didn't begin when you entered this particular incarnation, and it will not end when you depart this incarnation. It is eternal. It had no beginning, it will have no end. Why? Because it's the same as God. You are the Holy One. That's always been. Not something you're becoming. It's something that is awakening within you. Just as all fruits have their time to ripen, you cannot stop, delay, or prevent your awakening. And I'll tell you this, when you begin that awakening, really awakening, really seeing, you'll find a joy starts to bubble within you that no matter what happens in your life, in the world or around you, nothing can touch that. You'll find an inner stillness and quiet that goes beyond anything we could understand, because it is truth. And the world of effects which we live in cannot appreciate or recognize truth, because it is an effect. A distortion field, if you will. It is past history reappearing now. It is an old photograph. But it's not what's happening. What's happening is now. Now, now, now. Stop looking at the photographs of the past. The images we cling to in memory. It is transcending that fog bank, that distortion field, and moving deep to the radiant presence that fills your mind. God is in everything you see. Because God is in your mind, has the light of true vision and revelation. And because God is the light in which you see, everything you see must be seen in the light of God. Oh, you can perceive images that the mind has made. In fact, everything in our life is an image our mind has made. But that's not seeing. Again, that's like looking at an old photograph of the past. Because the unawakened mind sees only the past. It is bound in time. It relates to difference, differentiation, separate forms, and space. That is all the past. Even astronomy tells us that the distant galaxies and things that we see in the high-powered microscopes, telescopes, are seeing something that doesn't exist anymore. That it's in the past. Isn't that amazing? When I was living in London in the year 2000, I visited a huge exhibit in which you could walk through very large replicas of the interior of the human body. And I stood for a long time and looked at this gigantic eyeball. And they were explaining how the eyeball functions. For one thing, it doesn't see anything as it is. It sees everything upside down. It's the mind that corrects it to appear topside up. And basically, bottom line, it said that we don't see anything outside the eye. We actually see inside the mind. Which again brings up the same truth that Sai Baba and the Course in Miracles has been teaching for a long time, that everything we see outwardly is an image the mind has made, and it's perceived and interpreted within the brain. So there's nothing outwardly going on. There's no outer world. We're seeing images the mind has made. Jesus, in A Course of Miracles, is very clear in revealing to us how that happens and the difference between projection of the images within the mind and true vision. True vision is seeing through pure awareness. And that is seeing in the light. And that is the part that we call God. The sacred scriptures say that God is light. So that light is the inner kingdom that Jesus said we must go within to find. It is simply light. But not light like you turn on in your room. This is God, unlimited by form and the projection of imagery. We can't really describe that, but we can experience it. And all that it takes to experience it is the willingness to die to what was, that you can be born anew to eternal life. How do we die to that which was, which we're surrounded with? Well, each week we take a different look at it, don't we? We take a different approach. Because it's sort of like that precious diamond, which as you keep turning it and examining it, the different facets begin to reveal. And there's going to be a particular resonance that clicks for each person, because we're all very unique in how we awaken. So that's why you can speak on the same topic from now into eternity, which is what basically all enlightened masters do. And you'll always see a different understanding appear. So consider that our life today is a cumulative effect of all our thoughts, feelings, associations, and experiences over countless lifetimes. You might say our present life circumstance is like a photograph. It's like a photographic image of our past. Thank God we get a new brain with each incarnation, because each experience creates a groove in the brain. So it takes a while in each incarnation to reappropriate your previous state of awareness, which you do. You began right where you left off. So it's this cumulative, composite of energy that we awaken to each morning. And that's what replicates the images within our mind as our daily experiential reality, or lack of reality, or dream, whatever you want to call it. But it's that which motivates our activities throughout the day, but it's a past momentum. We called it a karmic field, which is simply the result or the effects of action, acting. But it's cumulative. And so all we do is shift our consciousness focus. That's all we do. When we go to sleep, we shift our focus from being in the waking state to the dreaming state. And we project the images within our subconscious. Or we mull over things that have been unresolved in our waking state. But we're still within our mind, our brain. Then when we depart this physical waking incarnation, embodiment, however you want to define yourself, when we shift from that into the more subtle plane of the astral, causal, mental, etheric, in what we call on earth death, which really doesn't exist, but that shift is called death. We simply recreate, again, within the imagery of the mind, the subconscious mind, the combined cumulative composite of our past, all of our experiences, thoughts, words, and deeds, and so forth. So that's what we defined a couple seminars back as our own creation, our own universe in which we live, until we awaken to the greater God worlds beyond our personal creative fields. Because we live and move and have our being in the grand heavenly being we call God. But we also are mini gods that replicate this creative ability within our own little personal sphere, until like a chick we peck out of that egg of limitation or ego mind and find we're in a beautiful, big, unlimited, vast reality that we didn't even know existed. So we're all like little chicks pecking our way out of these little ego shells of limitation. And we're getting ready to emerge into the limitless creations of truth, of bliss, of eternality. So consider when you go to sleep, in a mini sleep at night, it's a shift of focus of your awareness or your consciousness. Consciousness would be conditioned. Awareness would be unconditioned. So consider that it's a shift of focus when you go to sleep, when you dream, when you soul travel, when you daydream, when you project your mind into another state or place, and when you shift your awareness into another state permanently from that body that you were living in as your life, and then you experience your cumulative effect of your past life in your afterlife state, so to speak. And then the urge to have more experience, to work through the desires that you haven't yet fulfilled, draws you back into the plane where you can re-experience those things, which would be the physical. And it's that which keeps us coming back here. We are here again because we have things that we still desire that can only be fulfilled in a human body on a physical plane. But there's something so much greater awaiting us. And many of you are awakening beyond this little shell of self-identification that has kept you repeating a state that's less than fully enlightened and fully blissful. One of the things that we light workers have done is create a false spiritual identity. We might be living a very bhakti life, as they say in India, a very disciplined life. We may be vegetarians or not, or we may be whatever. And we have our definition of who we are, we're so-and-so, and we've labeled ourselves. And we've created a whole life based upon another fabrication of reality that is an upgrade from just being an unconscious person. But it's not a fully awakened person either. It's kind of in between. It's neither in the world or living a transcendental life beyond the world. It's kind of living a life with one foot in each camp, if you catch my drift. The proof of that is that you have financial difficulties. You have relationship drama. You're not fully at peace, fully content, completely fulfilled, and radiant with divine ecstatic delight all the time. So what keeps you from that? Clinging to an image you have invented around your light field. You have defined yourself as a something. Oh, it may be a very grandiose something. You may have, in your mind, conjured up an image of yourself as an ascended master, as an enlightened person, maybe an avatar. You may be a great galactic commander of some sort. But you catch my drift? These are all images your mind has made. They're not who you are, which is limitless, ecstatic awareness. There's no word for the Ananda that I'm speaking of. Call it joy, but that's so wimpy compared to what it is. It's such a fullness of being that nothing is lacking at all. So now what we want to do is start shifting our attention to one fact, that you are the light. You are the light. Your consciousness, soul, mind, all terms that mean the same thing, is a ray of the one divine source, like a sunbeam, if you will. It's an extension of the one, identical to the one. An extension, but not a departure. So here on Earth, we have this conditioned mind, which I usually term ego mind, but I don't want to use that term tonight. Just look at the mind as either awakened or still covered over with desires, unfulfilled desires, that sense of longing and lack. So you have that conditioned mind as well as a higher awareness that is unconditioned. That is the pure light of existence, of truth itself, satyam. And thus your true identity is this existence, this light, this truth. God is light, the sacred texts declare. So every spiritual practice involves the search for light. Where is that light to be found? All enlightened ones teach that the light is found within. Within where? Within your mind. Now, there in your awareness, that mind is not inside your skull. Your mind is a radiant golden field around your head. Any of you that have had aura photographs taken, a person that is highly intellectual and mental will have a very golden radiance around their head. That's the mental body, the mind. The brain is simply a receiver and transmitter of electrical impulses, which come from the conditioned energies within that mental field. And the mind interprets based on your conditioning, your beliefs, your chosen way of seeing things or perceiving things. But the mind is very different than the brain. So Jesus, in A Course in Miracles, uses the term mind in the same way we usually use the term soul or consciousness. Mind or soul we could then define as our sense of selfhood. It's that sense of existence that we all have. And regardless of our state of mind or level of consciousness, we all have the direct experience that we exist. For example, we all say, I am referring to ourself. And we all preference statements about ourselves with I am. So whatever we add after that I am reveals how we identify ourselves. Illumination is the state of one identified with the light. One truly sees through an illumined mind. That's what sees an illumined mind. And such a person is awakened to reality with a capital R. So vision is the gift of awakening to the light of your true identity. Vision is the gift that is yours when you see from the light of your own authentic self. And that comes to whoever, above all else, wants to see. True seership or divine sight, which in Sanskrit is called deva drishti, divine sight is the seership that beholds the perfection, purity, and divinity of all things. Jesus declared, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." So the pure of heart, and heart here has the same meaning as soul or mind or consciousness, is that state of one awakened to that inner light. So the inner light is the divine presence. It's that which is in everything that exists. There is the divine presence as the reality of all form. And it's that that everyone is seeking. So the presence of God is found within the light of the illumined mind. That's why all of the masters say that the kingdom of God is within. That's what they're talking about. So every search, every heartache, disappointment, longing, hunger, depression can be traced to this unconscious searching for light. People don't realize that everything they yearn for can be found in the light of their own self. So another term for light is love. Light, love, God, soul, Christ, mind, consciousness, basically all mean the same thing. God is the light that illumines the heart and mind to truth. That is what revelation is. Divine truth dawning within the illumined mind. That's how God speaks, through revelation of that which is. It's completely out of the field of knowledge. So when the mind has been purified through the repetition of the holy names of God, the light radiates as holy thoughts, thoughts which are really divine thoughts. And revelation of divine truth. What would be an example of a divine thought? Bliss of being. You see, it's not thinking like we are used to. Again, we have to go to the Sanskrit to get a more exact term. Sankalpa is the spontaneous arising of the bliss of God as it aligns with its loving impartation. Sai Baba, for example, when we were with him in an interview, he would wave his hand and materialize anything that we wanted, that he saw that we wanted. It could be a fruit out of season. It could be warm, crumbly candy. It could be a rosary, a ring, a medallion. I have to tell you a story here, which is one of the most amazing leelas ever. I'll do a little segue here, if you'll forgive me. There was a Muslim family that went to Sai Baba, and they had a boy, a young son, that had his heart centered on going to Mecca with his cousins to experience the Hajj, which is an obligatory trip to the shrine of Mecca that every devout Muslim is supposed to take at least once in his or her lifetime. And he didn't want to come see Sai Baba. He wanted to do the Hajj with his cousins. But because he was young, he was, you know, pulled along with his family. But Sai Baba saw the longing of his heart. He said, "You really wanted to go to Mecca and experience the Hajj." And the boy looked at Sai Baba and said, "Yes, Swami, I really did." So Baba waved his hand and created an opening in the side of the interview room in which the Hajj was present. And Sai Baba saw the boy walk into that vision, join with his cousins, and he experienced the Hajj. Okay? That was a 2-week experience for the boy. He brought trinkets. He bought trinkets, you know, on the stalls that they had there. He took photographs with his cousins and had a wonderful time all the time that the parents were sitting with Sai Baba in the interview room. And then Baba opened, again with his hand, the side of the wall, and the boy stepped back into the interview room with the packets of the souvenirs and tchotchkes that he had purchased at the Hajj. So here you see the divine avatar, collapsed time, space, distance, and realities through his divine sankalpa, his divine resolve, his will, and enabled a 2-week experience to elapse in about an hour, half-hour interview, however it was for the parents. The boy came back into the room with the packets. He had with him what he had purchased. Moreover, when he went home, the cousins had the photographs and were excited that he could join them after all. So you see, that is the unlimited power of one awakened fully to truth. That is a divine incarnation operating divinely, as we are all meant to do. People ask Sai Baba, are you God? And he said, yes. But you are God also. The only difference is I'm aware that I'm God, and you're not. So awakening to the light that you are is the awakening to the divinity that you are. And there is literally nothing your divinity can't do. Or as Jesus puts it in the Course in Miracles, there is nothing my holiness cannot do. My holiness blesses the world. My holiness is the salvation of the world. Let's look at the term salvation. It comes from the Latin root salve, which means to return to health and wholeness. Like the word salve. Salve, you know, what you rub on things that hurt. Salve. Salvation. So salvation is simply a return to the light that you've always been. It's a return to truth. It's a return to sanity. It's a restoration of your original wholeness and holiness. Or, as it's called in the Course in Miracles, the atonement. Same meaning. Atonement, salvation, awakening, illumination. All of it's a return to truth. To that which has always been. So there is nothing that the divine power can't do. And Sai Baba said very clearly, what you see are not yogic siddhis. Siddhis are powers that normally develop when a person has undergone certain spiritual rigors and training. But city powers come out of one's own biosphere, one's own physical and mental efforts. But that's different than awakening to the divinity within one, which is a gift of grace. That is when the Holy Spirit and your aspiration meet and join as one. Then you have genuine salvation. You can't do that by yourself. You have to join with that which is greater. So Baba said, these are simply my nature. They're not yogic powers. They're not conjuring magician strips. They are simply my nature, an expression of my love. Well, take for example, you mothers, or even a person who is not a mother, when you're with a loved one who's sick, don't you have the deepest desire in your heart to touch them and heal them? Don't you? Of course you do. Your divine sankalpa would be to lay hands on them and heal them. Now, you healers know exactly what I'm talking about. So what is that? That's the same divine impulse. But because you don't believe that you're divine and have that ability and that authority, that's what blocks you from being able to heal. When you know that you're the light, the healing is automatic. You don't even have to lay hands on someone. They just sit in your aura and get healed. I worked for some years with Benny Hinn Ministries. It was a great healing ministry. And he said, I don't have any healing power. He said, I couldn't even heal a fly. But the Holy Spirit heals. He said, I'm as surprised and happy as you are when people get healed. In fact, one time, Jesus told Benny Hinn to go outside the auditorium. He said, everybody thinks you're doing the healing. I want you to go outside the auditorium. I'll do the healing tonight. And so many hundreds of people were healed. It was astounding. And finally, you know, after about an hour, Benny Hinn came back in the room and saw all the wheelchairs and crutches and everything lined up. And Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the same. The divine power is one and the same. Did all the healing that night. So when Jesus said, there is nothing your holiness cannot do, he's talking about you awakening to the reality that you are the light. That you and God are light. Your reality and God are indistinguishable, exactly the same, like wetness and water, like sweetness and honey, like air and atmosphere. One and the same and indistinguishable. Meditate on that. Contemplate on that. So the awakened mind is aware of its holiness and the sanctity of all life. So our mind is purified as we turn our thoughts, our decisions, and actions. We've gone over this for several seminars now. Keep turning over your thoughts that are anything less than wholly joyous. Keep turning them over to the Holy Spirit for correction. Turn to the Holy Spirit for correction and direction. Walk with God consciously all the time. The journey into light requires walking with the Lord in full partnership. You'll find out you are the Lord, and you'll merge with the Lord. But until you awaken to that level, walk with the Lord. Do whatever you can to create a participatory relationship with the divine. Dwelling in silent contemplation on the divine presence. Contemplate that God is breathing you. God is beating your heart. God is experiencing through you. God is that feeling of loving kinship with all life. God is that sense of well-being. God is that feeling of contentment, serenity. And light is experienced as a light-hearted trusting in the divine to lead and guide and protect. So light is living in God's holy thoughts. You are the holiest thought of God. You are the Christ. That is the holiest thought of God. What is the Christ? It means the anointed one. You are the anointed one of God. So when you're living in God's holy thoughts, you are saved and you can save. You are healed and you can heal. For you are manifesting Christ consciousness, which is simply a divinely awakened, illumined mind. So one is saved when one's mind is returned to the divine light, and thus healed and returned to wholeness and sanity. And that mental return or correction, where you move from intellect to intuition, you move from conditioned consciousness to unconditioned awareness, you move from the little shell of limited self-identity to unlimited being. That is what it means to be saved. You're born the Lord. You're born again of spirit. Your healed, illumined mind is the greatest contribution you can make towards world peace. Eckhart Tolle said recently that that's the only thing that's going to save our world from destruction. Ashtar has said that also through me in articles I've written years back. Master Kutumi also. So if we despair about things happening in the world, you can't fix the world from a position of inner darkness. Again, that's like going into a room with a broom to chase the shadows. You have to turn on the light. So we can only heal as we awaken one by one and make that choice to go beyond the known. To go beyond where we have limited and defined ourselves in limitation, where we've wasted lifetimes trying to fix ourselves and trying to fix the world. It's never worked. It never will work. But we're in the age when the avatar, the great avatar Sai Baba, is present to inaugurate the golden age. This is a major year, 2015, in the advancement into the golden age. So within the next less than 20 years, we're going to have a world that Baba said is nothing, going to be nothing but pure love and peace throughout. That harmony will be established throughout the entire earth. There will be no crime, no warfare, no evil anywhere. But only those people who are awakened to love are going to inherit that wonderful golden age. The rest are going to be finding themselves in another reality, another version of the earth. Perhaps one that does, in fact, destroy itself. I don't know. But what I am saying is that this is the time, right now, this is the time to awaken to the light that you are. Jesus is very bold in one of the lessons in the Course in Miracles in the workbook, where he has us make this statement. The salvation of the world depends on me. And he said that's the only unarrogant statement that we can make. That it's entirely true. The salvation of the world depends on me. Or we could say, the return to wholeness, the returning of the world to wholeness. Health and healing depends on me. Because it's only after our own return to wholeness and health and holiness that we see the world truly. And when you see the world truly, you see that it's never ever been anything but filled with the divine. All of the mental imagery that we interpret as the world that we see outwardly vanishes with the healing of our mind. It just vanishes. There's nothing left to be dealt with. So consider with Krishnamurti and Sai Baba and Jesus and the Course of Miracles, they all say that the world you see is within your mind and nowhere else. Meditate on that. Meditate on that. So God is a light by which I see. And when you see through the heart, through the healed, purified mind, you see clearly the love and the loveliness that is the substratum of truth upon which all rests. Your body's eyes do not see. They can only project images your past conditioning has suggested. Your past conditioning thoughts are preventing you from seeing anything as it truly is. So that is why the Holy Spirit, the inner master, must teach us how to see through true vision, through the light of awakened awareness. Because the light is in our mind, we can find it when we really want to. Wanting to truly see, wanting to truly awaken, wanting to know God, is the very silent, evocative prayer of the heart that opens the very way that Jesus calls the way, the truth, and the life everlasting. And that is the radiant way home that we all long for, which is simply the return to truth. So the light pouring through the eyes, the windows of the soul, is the awakened illumined mind or soul, seeing the divine in all things. God is the light by which I see. So my mind is very holy because God's light is in my mind. God is the light in my mind. It's the divine light that bestows vision. The radiant way of the illumined world is open from within. You step into that radiance behind your forehead and enter the great, 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 great central sun systems of the cosmic Christos. The way of the illumined world opens within. And first it's within the mind that you see the light, but that mind then opens as a corridor which reveals an entire reality that is beyond the mind, beyond the body, beyond the head, beyond the chakras. It's an experiential reality, more real than the world that you dream to see right now. So first you will experience the light of your own healed universes, within your consciousness as you move from conditioned past consciousness to illumined awareness. And then you go beyond that into the greater omniverses of the Creator itself. So you have God within and you have God transcendental. And the transcendental divine is the one in which we live and move and have our being. So identify yourself with the light. Journal about it, contemplate it, ponder it, meditate upon it, and study A Course in Miracles, Sai Baba's teachings. Feed and nourish your mind with truth. Chant the Gayatri Mantra. You can learn it from Sai Baba on YouTube. Gayatri is the very evocation of the illumined mind. Study and contemplate the deeper statements found in the sacred scriptures. For example, all that is written in the Gospel of John about Jesus, apply it to yourself personally. And remind yourself as often as you can, I am the light. God is the light by which I see. God is in my mind. My mind is very holy. God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. And use your daily life as your arena to create greater light, greater awareness. Come present in each moment of your day. Come present as the light. You'll find that you don't get tired at all when you operate in that. You'll find your life come alive with such vivacity, such energy, such buoyancy, such joy, that you won't have any more days where you're just going through the motions. And remember, you're never alone, for you walk with the illumined ones of all ages. Once you truly want to see, once you truly awaken and manifest the light that you are the Holy One, and your holiness blesses me and blesses this world. So let's go out chanting, Anai Hu, ancient name for God. Deep breath. God bless you. You are blessed, and you are the blessing. You are the Holy One, the very light of the all that is. Adonai.